Welcome to the Art Gallery for our exhibition From the Cornish Coast to the Malvern Hills, British Impressionism in the 19th and 20th centuries. In the mid-19th century, a group of French artists, including Monet, Renoir and Pissarro, were becoming dissatisfied with the contemporary emphasis on the academic subjects of history and mythology in art. By the 1860s, they had developed a new aesthetic, one which downgraded the importance of the traditional subject matter and shifted attention to the artist's manipulation of colour, tone and texture as ends in themselves. The technique of painting en plein air rather than in a studio allowed the painter to capture the momentary and transient effects of sunlight by working quickly in front of their subject. This often resulted in the use of lighter, looser brushwork and a joyful palette of colours. British artists soon followed their lead and began to visit rural areas to paint. Stanhope Forbes, along with Walter Langley, Elizabeth Forbes and many others, chose the small Cornish village of Newlyn on the shores of Mounts Bay to become the centre of a new movement in British art, founding the Newlyn School in the 1880s. Their paintings became highly regarded and were regularly exhibited at the Royal Academy. Many groups of interlinked artists following similar ideals and styles emerged around the country, creating a new genre of art, British Impressionism. There are many wonderful examples in the Worcester City Collection, and this exhibition explores their impact and legacy on British art and how the Malverns became a place of creative sanctuary and influence for many artists. The first two paintings in the exhibition are examples of French Impressionism, one by Camille Pissarro and the other by Lucien Pissarro. Both paintings are on loan to us from Southampton City Art Gallery. Camille Pissarro came to England in 1870 due to the outbreak of the Franco-Prussian War. During his period in London, he was influenced by the work of John Constable, J.M.W. Turner and David Cox. Lucien Pissarro, his eldest child, grew up under the influence of his father and fellow impressionists such as Renoir and Monet. The first painting is titled Louvre Sien and was painted by Camille Pissarro in 1870 in oil on canvas. The painting portrays an elegantly dressed couple standing in the foreground with their backs to the viewer, admiring the distant view over the town of Louvre Sien, one of the small towns frequently visited by Impressionist painters. The woman holds the man's arm and they stand near to a rough track which leads to a house on the left of the scene. The right side of the picture is dominated by tall trees. The next painting, by Lucien Pissarro, is oil on canvas and was painted in 1905. It is titled Grey Weather Finching Field. This is a view across undulating fields of long grass and bright, colourful meadow flowers towards the Essex village of Finchingfield in the distance. A windmill, Finchingfield Post Mill, stands on a small hillside slightly left of the centre of the scene, and to the right of it are several red-roofed homes and buildings. The scene is framed by trees and hedgerows. The thick, sweeping and swirling brushstrokes enable the viewer to sense the movement of the wind in the billowy clouds above the tree line beyond the village, and in the swaying of the long grass and flowers in the foreground. Next we come to four artworks by Walter Langley, who is known as the pioneer of the Newlyn School, as he was the first of the Newlyn School artists to settle in the village, setting up his studio in 1882. Langley was born in Birmingham in 1852 and at age 15 was apprenticed as a lithographer. In 1881 he was elected an associate of the Royal Birmingham Society of Artists. He died in 1922. Although Langley was an accomplished painter in oils, he mainly worked in watercolour. He portrayed scenes of everyday life in a small fishing village, highlighting the hardships and tragedies that were commonplace during that period. These paintings are on loan to us from the Bowerman Trust. The first artwork is titled Maiden. It was painted in 1905 in watercolour. It shows a young woman leaning against a sea wall gazing towards the left of the scene. Her right arm and hand rest on top of the wall. In her left hand she holds a large terracotta jug. Her dark hair is tied loosely in a bun. She wears a pale pink blouse and a white apron tied at the waist over a dark grey skirt. Beyond the wall is the pale sandy beach leading to the calm blue sea. A harbour wall stands on the far right of the scene, where there are several fishing boats with long thin masts. The scene has a delicate pink palette, picked out in the tones of the sky, the woman's blouse, the terracotta jug and the sandy shoreline. The next artwork by Langley is titled Breadwinners. It was painted in 1896 in oil on canvas. In this scene, three Newlyn fishwives carry the day's catch along the puddled and seaweed-strewn beach in cawls on their backs. Cawls were large baskets carried on the back with a strap around the forehead. The woman on the right carries hers on her shoulder and hip. The women all wear brimmed hats and shawls with white aprons over their long skirts. More workers and a horse and cart are gathered on the beach in the mid-distance. Beyond them is a line of fishing boats out on the turquoise sea. On the right stands the harbour wall with a lighthouse. The left of the scene is dominated by a pile of seaweed-covered rocks, in front of which lies a discarded basket on its side in the sand. Moving along to the other side of the archway is an artwork titled The Old Pilot. This was painted by Langley in 1891 in watercolour. It is a wonderful portrait of an elderly fisherman as he stands looking towards the right of the scene. He wears a fisherman's hat and salopettes over a coarse light overshirt. He has a broad stature with weathered features, sharp blue eyes and white sideburns. In his right hand he holds a wood and brass telescope. His left hand leans on a wooden panel fence draped with a canvas sail. In the distance, several fishing boats are out at sea. The next artwork by Langley is titled At Polperro, Cornwall. This was painted in the 1890s in oil on canvas. This everyday village scene depicts a conversation between two Newlyn fishwives. One of the women is sitting at the top of some stone steps leading up to the door of her whitewashed cottage on the left of the image. She is wearing a hat and a blue apron. The other woman stands on the right of the scene in her hat and shawl, carrying her basket, perhaps stopping for a chat with her neighbour on her way home from her day's work. Beyond where she stands is the water and harbourside buildings. At the top of the right side of the image is a distant green hillside rising towards the cloudy sky. Moving to your right is a painting by Alexander Stanhope Forbes. Forbes was born in Dublin in 1857 and studied at the Royal Academy Schools from 1874 to 1878. While completing his training in Paris from 1880 to 1882, he experienced firsthand the contemporary French plein air painting. In 1889, Forbes married the Canadian-born painter Elizabeth Armstrong, and later that year they settled in Newlyn. Forbes became the centre and rallying point of the colony of artists that became known as the Newlyn School. In 1899, he and his wife founded the Newlyn School of Art, which continued until 1938, and Forbes lived in the village until the end of his long life. He died aged 90 in 1947. This painting is titled The Village Street, Newlyn. It was painted circa 1925 in oil on canvas. In this scene, Forbes beautifully renders the light and colour of a sunny day in a village street in Newlyn. While the right-hand corner is in shadow, the light from the sun illuminates the row of whitewashed cottages running from the left of the scene. A woman and child stand in the doorway of the first cottage, talking to two children. At the side of the cottage, two girls stand talking next to a wooden water barrel. Further along the row of cottages, another woman leans over her whitewashed wall. On the right, at the end of the row, green hills can be seen in the distance, below a blue sky with gentle white clouds. The commentary continues along the right-hand wall of the gallery. You can press pause here before resuming at the top of the gallery on the left side of the gallery desk. Here we have two artworks by Paul Nash, who lived from 1889 to 1946. Nash was a British surrealist painter and war artist. He is considered amongst the most important landscape artists of the early 20th century. He played a key role in the development of modernism in English art, which followed on from Impressionism. In the case in front of you is a painting titled Hills and the Plain, Christmas Card for Dudley, which Nash painted circa 1940 in watercolour. This is a view of the Malvern Hills, which appear in the distance on the left of the scene. Horizontal strokes and loose brush marks represent the trees and fields in the mid-distance leading up to the hills. Nash has used a restricted palette of pale greys, browns and blues, which give a cool and calm feel to the work. Also displayed in the case is a quote by Nash, beautifully describing a summer sunset over the Malvern Hills. The declining sun suffused the evening sky to brickish red, beneath which the Malverns piled up intensely blue. A carnelian glow illumined the heavy summer green. On the wall above the case is a painting titled Landscape of the Malvern Distance. Nash painted this work in 1943 in oil on canvas. Paintings like this one, made towards the end of Nash's life, are charged by his sense of approaching mortality and fascination with nature's cycle of decay and renewal. Nash's poor health would not allow him to walk far, so he used binoculars to bring landscape features closer, in this case the Malvern Hills viewed from a friend's house. The Malvern Hills appear in the distance to the right of the centre of the scene. In thick, heavy brush strokes, the foreground is dense with trees. Nash has used a palette of pale greys and greens with tinges of pink just above the hills in the cloudy sky, indicating the glow of the setting sun behind them. The hills, fields and trees are tinged with a yellowish brown, suggesting the turning leaves of autumn and the concept of decay and renewal. Moving to the wall on your left, we have a painting by Walter Sickert, who was born in 1860 and died in 1942. Sickert was a German-born British painter and printmaker. He was a member of the Camden Town group of post-impressionist artists in the early 20th century in London, and he is considered a prominent figure in the transition from impressionism to modernism. This painting is titled The Old Soldier. It was painted in 1912 in oil on canvas. The focus of this artwork is an elderly man and woman walking arm in arm, both dressed in dark clothing, against an abstract background of gold and reddish browns, painted in mostly vertical brush strokes. Their features are abstract, and it is the postures and the clothing of the figures that show their old age. The man wears a flat cap and walks with a thin walking stick. The woman wears a black shawl around her head and walks with her hands clasped together at her waist. The next artwork, titled The Bather, was painted by Cornish artist Dodd Proctor, born Doris Margaret Shaw in 1892. Proctor and her husband Ernest attended art schools together in England and Paris, where they were both influenced by Impressionism and the Post-Impressionism movements. She was a member of several artists' organisations, including the Newlyn School, and became president of St Ives Society of Artists in 1966. She died in 1972. The Bather is painted in oil on canvas and is a portrait of a woman bather sitting on coastal rocks which fill the rest of the composition. The woman wears an open green and lemon patterned shirt dress over her red bathing suit and sheer pink vest. Her long hair is wavy and golden, and she wears a large pink patterned sun hat with a wide brim. In a relaxed pose, she rests her right arm on the rock beside her and she gazes towards the left of the scene. The next three artworks we come to were painted by the second generation of British Impressionists. In the early 1900s, a new generation of artists arrived and settled about 3 miles from Newlyn in the valley at Lamorna. These artworks are on loan from the Bowerman Trust. First, we have a painting by Lamorna Birch, regarded as the father figure of the later group of Newlyn artists, who lived from 1869 to 1955. Born Samuel John Birch, Lamorna was the artist's adopted name, suggested by Stanhope Forbes to distinguish him from Lionel Birch, an artist who was also working in the area at that time. This painting is titled The Coast Near Lamorna. It was painted in 1948 in oil on canvas. The scene is dominated by the sky, which takes up the top two-thirds of the composition. Heavy grey clouds are tinged gold by the obscured sun, and in the small cloud breaks are patches of blue sky. In the distance, slanting vertical strokes portray rain over a sandy bay. The pockets of sunlight illuminate the rugged coastline in the foreground, which is rocky with a single windswept tree on the right. Two figures, a man and a woman, stand on the rocky path next to the tree. Next, we have a painting by Sir Alfred James Munnings, who lived from 1878 to 1959. It is titled Horse and Tumbrel with Sheep, and it was painted in 1908 in oil on canvas. Known as one of England's finest painters of horses, Munnings was a member of Newlyn between 1912 and 1914. In the centre of the scene, a bay working horse stands patiently on the brown earth of a stony field, harnessed to a tumbrel, a wooden two-wheeled cart used for agricultural work. The horse is surrounded by a herd of sheep, one of which in the left corner looks directly at the viewer. Here, Munnings captures the warm golden light of a sunny day. In the distance, groups of tall trees stand in dull green fields under a cloudy blue sky. The next painting is titled Whiffing, Newlyn Harbour. It was painted in oil on canvas by Frank Heath, who lived from 1873 to 1936. Heath became an admirer of Stanhope Forbes while he was a student. From the 1920s onwards, his use of colour and light led him to be known locally as the sunshine artist. This colourful painting is a beautiful and sensitive portrait of a fisherman seated in a rowing boat on the blue Cornish waters near Newlyn Harbour. He wears a red beret, a light overshirt and dark trousers. He has slim dark features and a moustache. His left arm rests on the side of the boat. At the top left of the scene is the harbour wall, beyond which are the harbourside buildings of Newlyn. Moving along, we have a painting by prolific Newlyn artist Harold Harvey, who lived from 1874 to 1941. Harvey was born locally in Penzance and became the most gifted of the Newlyn school. With the exception of a time spent in Paris training, Harvey spent his lifetime working in Penzance and Newlyn. The painting is titled Seaweed Gatherers. It was painted in 1905 in oil on canvas and is on loan to us from the Bowerman Trust. The painting shows two men gathering seaweed into a cart pulled by two horses along the Cornish coastline. In the centre foreground, a brown collie dog stands looking at one of the men, his master, who is dressed in a blue jacket and hat. The man carries a rake in the crook of his elbow and has his hands up to his face lighting a pipe or cigarette. Behind the man, the wooden cart is piled with the day's load of gathered seaweed. The man at the head of the leading horse on the right of the picture stands raising a whip in his hand. In the distance on the right is the village of Newlyn. In this painting, Harvey has beautifully recreated the light reflecting shiny wet shoreline at the feet of the men and the animals. The next artwork is titled A Fisher Girl, Newlyn. It was painted by Edwin Harris in 1891 in oil on canvas. Harris was born in Ladywood, Birmingham in 1855 and educated at Old Edgbaston School. In 1869 he entered Birmingham School of Art, aged 14. In 1880 he progressed to Verlat's Academy in Antwerp, where he was greatly influenced by Charles Verlat, the Academy's Professor of Painting, who advocated a realist approach and working on plein air. After a couple of ventures to Newlyn in 1881, Harris finally settled there in 1883 and was a founding member of the Newlyn School. He died in 1906 in Cleve Prior near Evesham in Worcestershire. The painting is a head and shoulder portrait of a Newlyn fisher girl in profile as she gazes thoughtfully into the distance to the left of the image. Her youthful features and rosy cheeks are painted in soft pink and yellowish tones. Her dark hair is tied back with a black ribbon and she wears a small sheer black scarf tied around her neck. Her blouse is pale blue. In the background is the light turquoise sea stretching to the faded coastline beneath a dull and pale brown sky. Moving on, we now come to a painting by Stanhope Forbes. This painting is titled Lighting Up Time. It was painted in 1902 in oil on canvas. Here, Forbes has captured the beautiful low fading light in the cloudy sky above a carter with his horse and cart carrying three passengers on a country lane at dusk. The viewer is placed at the rear of the cart, giving a close-up view of its occupants. The carter stands next to the cart lighting a lamp. The warm light from the lamp draws the viewer's focus in this dark scene onto the carter's illuminated young and soft-featured face. On the left of the scene, a woman passenger sits in the cart cradling a sleeping young child, and next to her sits an older girl. On the right of the scene, alongside the winding lane, there are several dots of warm light, the glow from cottage windows. Next we have the first of two artworks by the Queen of New Lynn, Elizabeth Forbes, who lived from 1859 to 1912. She was born Elizabeth Armstrong in Canada, but worked mainly in England. She was friends with the artists James Abbott McNeill Whistler and Walter Sickert, both of whom influenced her work. Her etchings in particular are said to show the influence of Whistler. After studying and working in continental Europe, Forbes settled in New Lynn, England, where she raised her son and established a school with her husband Stanhope Forbes. This painting is titled The Pied Piper, an allegory of spring. It was painted circa 1900 in gouache and watercolour on paper. In this scene, a blonde-haired boy playing a thin flute is followed across a newly ploughed field by four children. A horse and plough are still at work in the field in the distance on the right. The top third of the painting depicts the horizontal tree line along the edge of the field, beyond which are a group of farm buildings. The predominantly muted grey and brown colour palette is lifted by the colour in the children's clothing and a bright bunch of yellow flowers held by the middle child. The piper wears a yellow tunic, and the first of his followers wears a bright red hat. One young girl wears a blue dress, and the girl at the back of the group has purple sleeves on her dress and carries a branch of a tree in blossom. The next painting by Elizabeth Forbes is titled Picnic in the Woods. It was painted circa 1900 in oil on canvas. This narrow composition, measuring 24 by 12 inches, shows a small group of people enjoying a woodland picnic. The top half of the image is dominated by the trunks and the sparse canopy of trees, their remaining leaves painted in hues of gold and brown. A picnic basket lies in the centre foreground of the scene, from which the focus moves up to the figure of a woman sitting on the woodland floor, turning to talk to a man in a hat who sits against a tree. Several other figures can be seen in the background. The golden brown tones used in the painting give it a very autumnal feel. Turning to your left is another artwork by Stanhope Forbes. This painting is oil on canvas and was painted in 1931. It is titled Wood Gatherers, A Country Lane. This scene depicts a woman and children gathering wood near to a winding country lane. In the foreground on the right, a woman pushes a wooden barrow full of gathered wood along the path towards the viewer. She's turning her head towards a child who is walking alongside her carrying a large bundle of wood. Behind them on the path and on the grass to the left, several more children are gathering wood. In the middle distance on the left is a low-roofed stone cottage. At the top of the picture are the trunks and canopies of tall trees. The browning leaves on the trees and fallen along the edge of the path suggest it may be early autumn. Moving through the arch on your left into the watercolour gallery, the exhibition continues. Starting on your right, the first artwork is titled Herald of Night. It was painted in oil on canvas circa 1897 by John Alfred Arnesby Brown, who lived from 1866 to 1955. Brown was a British artist who lived for a while in St Ives, Cornwall. The painting is a scene of a lush meadow with grazing cows at dusk. A full moon appears in the pale blue-purple sky between tall thin trees in the mid-distance. Arnesby Brown was well known for his impressionistic depictions of pastoral landscapes, which often featured cattle. On the wall to your left, we have a painting titled Daybreak at Sea, painted by Charles Napier Hemmy in 1890 in oil on canvas. This is a scene of four fishermen in a fishing boat with a billowing brown sail heading out on a choppy green sea under a blanket of grey cloud at daybreak. The pilot can be seen steering at the helm. The two fishermen behind him in the boat stand together looking towards the cliffs of the mainland on the right of the picture. One of the men is pointing towards the cliffs, upon which stands a lighthouse. The next painting is titled Dulse Gatherers. It was painted in 1904 in oil on canvas by William Henry Bartlett, who lived from 1858 to 1932. The painting depicts a man and woman on a cloudy grey day gathering dulse a type of seaweed which grows along the Cornish coast. The man stands in the shallows in the centre left of the scene, unloading a large basket of dulse into a wooden fishing boat. On the right, the woman, barefooted and wearing a white shawl around her head, sits on a seaweed-covered rock, gathering the dulse in another large basket. In the distance is the light sandy coast, beyond which lies dunes and hills, shadowed by the grey clouds. On the right, there are several white houses beyond the dunes. On the wall to your left is a painting titled Summer Sea, Newquay, by Albert Julius Olsen, who lived from 1864 to 1942. It was painted circa 1920 in oil on canvas. This view of the sea at Newquay, Cornwall, shows the sweep of gentle waves swirling and breaking along the rocky shore. Golden sunlight filters through the clouds onto pink-tipped, glittering waves. Moving along, we come to Worcester City Collection's best-loved artwork, Chadding on Mounts Bay by Stanhope Forbes. Painted in 1902 in oil on canvas, this colourful and joyful scene shows six children in a fishing boat out on the tranquil waters around Mounts Bay, Cornwall. In the centre, a boy dressed in brown, wearing a floppy fishing hat, stands holding up a small silver fish on the end of a line. On the right, another boy in a flat cap leans over the side of the boat with his line in the water. At the other end of the boat, on the left of the composition, a blonde-haired boy in a red jumper sits on the side holding his line in the water. Behind him sit two girls in pale blouses and wearing bonnets, and another boy in a straw boater. The white boat is reflected in the glassy blue surface of the water. In the distance are more fishing boats and the faraway coastline. The next painting is titled Clouds Over the Orwell. It was painted in the 1930s in oil on canvas by Yorkshire artist Bertram Priestman, who lived from 1868 to 1951. The top two-thirds of this painting are populated by thick white and grey clouds in a pale blue sky. Slanted and smudged brushstrokes give a sense of the slow, quiet movement of the clouds above the still and glassy water of the River Orwell below. The grassy riverbank sweeps around the left of the picture, and in the distance stands a windmill next to a red-roofed building. Some river birds stand on a long island in the river, and more birds are above in flight among the clouds. Moving to the wall on your left, we have three paintings by Dame Laura Knight. Born in 1877, Laura Knight studied at Nottingham School of Art, where she met her husband, Harold Knight. After marrying in 1903, they joined an artist's colony in Staithes, Yorkshire, before moving to New Lynn, Cornwall in 1908. Knight was made a dame in 1929, and in 1936 she became the first woman elected to full membership of the Royal Academy. Her subjects included gypsies, dancers and circus performers. She died in 1970. The first artwork is one of two Laura Knight paintings which were acquired into the Worcester City Collection in 2022, purchased with the assistance of the Victoria and Albert Museum Purchase Grant Fund and Art Fund. This painting is titled Lake Windermere and Langdale Pikes. It was painted circa 1945 in oil on canvas. It is a stunning landscape of Lake Windermere with the sun rising above Langdale Pikes, painted in a soft palette of pastel greys, blues and pinks. A variety of stunning cloud formations spreads across the enormous sky, and below the sun's rays pour over the pikes and glisten on the surface of the lake. Moving along, we have our second newly acquired painting by Laura Knight, titled Beulah No. 2. It is painted in oil on canvas and is an above-the-waist profile portrait of a young gypsy woman in an elegant and relaxed pose with closed eyes and slightly parted lips. Her very long, loose, dark hair contrasts with the bright red of the fabric in the background and the duller red of her blouse. The next painting, also by Laura Knight, is titled Bryony and Sally. It is on loan from a private lender. It shows a young girl sitting cross-legged on a fringed blanket on a wall or ledge with a Jack Russell Terrier in her lap. The girl has short brown hair and wears a pale green button-up blouse. She wears brown buckled shoes with fawn socks. The Malvern Hills appear in the background of the picture. On the wall to your left is a painting of the Malvern Hills, Worcestershire, by Charles Ginner, who lived from 1878 to 1952. Ginner was a British painter born in the south of France. Painted in the 1940s, the work is in oil on canvas. This colourful landscape with its vibrant tones of green is a view from above a tree line over the Worcestershire countryside with the Malvern Hills in the distance, below a sky of white clouds with a small streak of light blue. The painting is very rich in texture and colour. In the mid-distance, on the right, beyond the trees and fields, lies a town with a church. The painting is from the Worcester City Collection, purchased with the assistance of the Victoria and Albert Museum Purchase Grant Fund 1996 and Art Fund. In the case below, we have a painting titled Tugboats on the Thames by Ronald Ossery Dunlop, who lived from 1894 to 1973. Painted before 1945 in oil on canvas, this scene of the River Thames shows several tugboats waiting at the shoreline. On the right are a line of small boats moored along the bank. Beyond them are riverside buildings, possibly boatyards. The top of the painting shows the far side of the river, populated by city buildings. Painted in a palette of light browns, yellows and pinks, small patches of a pale turquoise sky can be seen breaking up the thick clouds. Above the case, on the wall to your left, are two artworks by Worcester-born artist Benjamin Williams Leader, who lived from 1831 to 1923. The top painting is titled Old Blacksmith's Shop, Great Malvern. It was painted in 1871 in oil on canvas. The scene shows an old blacksmith's shop in painted white brick and timber with three pitched roofs situated at the foot of the Malvern Hills. A woman in a white dress is walking along a footpath in front of the building, which leads onto a stony road. On the right of the scene, a horse stands on the road close to the path. At the far right of the scene, a man and a boy come into view walking along the road. A little way ahead of them is a dog, possibly a border collie. Behind the pitched roofs and the smoking chimney of the blacksmith's shop rise the golden green Malvern Hills, below a gentle white cloud in a pale blue sky. The painting below is titled Afternoon on the Thames. It was painted by Leader in 1903 in oil on canvas. This is a beautiful and tranquil pastoral landscape depicting a section of the River Thames. On the riverbank on the left of the painting, a group of figures are sitting enjoying the pleasant day. The riverside sweeping from the right of the scene is hilly and tree-covered. Above the scene, thick textured white clouds float in the blue sky. Moving back into the main gallery, you'll find a tall case in the centre containing two artworks by David Cox. Cox was born in Birmingham in 1783. He became one of the leading British watercolour artists of the early 19th century and an important member of the Birmingham School of Landscape Artists. Late in life, he took up oil painting. In his remarkable oil paintings of the 1850s, he seems to prefigure the work of the French Impressionists. Cox died in 1859. The first artwork is titled Crossing the Common. It is painted in watercolour and is a landscape view of a flat, open common. The focus of the scene to the right of the centre is the rear view of a gentleman in a long brown coat and black hat riding a white horse across the common on a stony path with a dog walking alongside. On the left of the scene, the ground slopes towards a pond which is edged by tall reeds. The vast sky is filled with heavy grey rain clouds. Moving around to the other side of the case, we have a painting titled Worcester Cathedral, River Severn, painted by Cox in oil on canvas. This is a view of Worcester Cathedral from the opposite bank of the River Severn. It shows a busy day on the river with boats carrying passengers and river workers and laden with wares. In the bottom left corner is a swimmer in the river, whose clothes can be seen laid on rocks on the far right of the painting. In the gardens next to the cathedral, two figures are enjoying a walk. From the top of the painting, the pale blue sky fades to light grey to pink just above the horizon. If you turn and walk towards the art gallery desk, you will find another case which contains a lithograph by James Abbott McNeill Whistler, who lived from 1834 to 1903. Produced in 1879, this is one of Whistler's earliest lithographs when he first developed his impressionistic print style. Whistler was friends with and collaborated with Claude Monet. Their work and aims made a vital contribution to the development of Impressionism. The lithograph is titled Victoria Club, and it is a scene depicting a corner of a building on Wellington Street, London. In the centre is an ornamental window, and there are about a dozen elegantly dressed figures gathered in the street in front of the building. We are delighted that this artwork is a new acquisition into the Worcester City Collection. You have now come to the end of the exhibition. Thank you for visiting today. We hope you have enjoyed the exhibition, and we look forward to welcoming you again very soon.